safety of the things we have to go through on the face of this earth. Contrary to some's thought, we are only human. And I say that word only human in comparison to God and even holy angels. We are but flesh. We are finite. We are weak and we are feeble, no matter how strong we actually really are physically. But spiritually, mentally, many times, we're weak, we're feeble. We're under duress, we're under stress, we're under attack of the enemy in our mind. And in Isaiah 38:14, this is the account of Hezekiah and God sending Isaiah to let Hezekiah know it's time to go home. Your days are numbered, get your house in order, get ready, because you're going to die. You know, it amazes me how God communicated with Hezekiah just really plainly, openly communicated with him, you've run your race. It's time. Your appointment is nigh. But then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall. That lets me know he was in a sick bed. And he rolled over and he faced the wall. He didn't just cry in despair, I'm going to die. He cried in faith and he besought the Lord. And in Isaiah 38:14 says, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. My eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. In other words, he began to pray. He began to praise God. He began to remind God of what his heart's desire had been and what it still was. And so, sooner than you think, the answer is going to come. Sooner than you think, situations are going to turn around. While we're in the midst of the storm, it seems like it's going to last forever, Brother John. We can't see past the clouds. We can't see past the rain. And I mean, if you've ever been in an Oklahoma thunderstorm, the reality of not being able to see past the rain is real. When one of them storms pops up in the summertime and that rain begins to fall, just a downpour, just like a flood, you can't see anything. And so it is a lot of times in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tests, in the midst of our dilemmas, in the midst of the attack of the enemy, we can't see it. We can't see it. And we have to turn our face to the wall. We have to look at what we can't see and begin to pray. Begin to praise, just like what you did this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just so refreshed all through Scripture. You find the people of God singing. And I thought it was something there. Brother Whitley was sharing at his wife's funeral. And he was sharing, he says, you know, I've been told that when I get stressed, I sing. When I get discouraged, I sing. When things are pressing me, I sing. And he listed off about four or five more. He says, I sing. There's a reason he sings. Because song is the expression of faith in an almighty God in the midst of the dilemma. When you don't know what to do, sing. Sing. Give praise. Magnify God. Don't look at the rain. Don't look at the cloud. Don't look at the situation. Do like Hezekiah. My eyes fail with looking upward. Amen. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the one who hears my cry, the one who is above it all, the one who is going to move. Hallelujah. And he's going to move sooner than you think. because in our minds we think it's never going to happen. In our minds we lose hope a lot of times. In our minds we think it's never going to change. Amen. But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're high above our thoughts. That God's got a purpose and God's got a plan. So sooner than you think, it's going to change. It's going to change. Hallelujah. And just a few more scriptures here. Psalm 6, 2 and 4. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. A cry, a praise, a despair. In Psalms 6 and 8, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Ooh, hallelujah. See, it always starts out in the storm. It always starts out in the dilemma. But it always ends up sooner than you think. God comes on the scene. Hallelujah. So don't wear out. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just look up to heaven. Just give praise where praise is due. Amen. Give thanksgiving where thanks is due. Hallelujah. Because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed from our past sins. Our name's been written in. I don't know about you, but that does great things for me. Hallelujah. That my name's been written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. When I begin to pray, he doesn't look at every other Doug in the Lamb's book of life. He looks at my name. Hallelujah. Because he knows everybody by name. Praise be to God. And that's why I know when I begin to cry out and I begin to grow weary and soul, weary in mind, and I feel like I want to give up. Oh, yeah. Pastor Pepper's been there too. Well, you think you're the only one? Look around and you'll see everybody else that has been on that round too. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. And so we see then the sore pain of Psalms 55, 4 and 6. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. The horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You just want to get away from it sometimes? So Psalmist David did too. Amen? But let's read on. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen? Sooner than you think, he's coming on the scene. Sooner than you think, the answer will be here. Sooner than you think, it's going to happen in an hour you think not. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I am astounded at the mighty works God has done in the past year. I'm also astounded to the fact that we're usually locked into about a 3-month time frame. And whatever happened past 3 months ago, it's like you have to really stop and say, now, what happened at camp meeting? You have to really stop. What happened in our spring revival? You have to really stop and how did God move in that situation? And as you survey 2021 and you pull back and you look at the big picture of 2021, all you can see is the mighty hand of God working throughout that whole year for the furtherance of his kingdom, the strengthening of his saints, encouragement, saving of souls, healing of bodies, and sad to our hearts, but some got to go home. And I said it just like that because that's where our longing is. Amen. Why? Because sooner than you think, God's going to move. Hallelujah. So don't trust your thoughts. Trust your God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What is that? That's a statement, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. I'm not throwing in the towel. I am going on for Jesus because sooner than I think, he's going to come on the scene. Oh, praise be to our God. Hallelujah. And Jesus is about to return for the church. We've got to understand that. We've got to believe that. We've got to get our minds wrapped around it fresh and anew. Even the disciples, they were in awe when Jesus ascended. But in Acts chapter 1, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Mm-hmm. Sooner than you think, Jesus is going to return. Sooner than you think. Now, anybody that's close to my age, I'm 61 years old, been saved for 38 years. Anyone that's close to my age and has been in church for a similar period of time has went through the 88 reasons why Jesus had come in 88. Anybody remember that? And then there was a sequel to that, why he's not going to come in 88, but I can't even remember the year that, because I didn't pay a bit of attention to it then. And then we've went through Y2K. Anybody in here been through Y2K? Year 2000 rolled around. Wow. Might get inspired here. Anybody see the light? That's only the third time that fell out of there. Y2K, everything was going to shut down, calamity was going to happen, and here we are. Then all of a sudden there was an election. We had a president named Donald Trump. Where did he come from? Why was he there? How did he get there? I could back up and say there was a President Obama, and everybody's still wondering how he got there. And let alone one term, two terms. How in the world? Why in the world? But then there was an intervention. A time for the church to begin to wake up. Because the last days are on us. It was a time for the church to begin to survey something's happening here. And then we had that wild election. Just a year ago. We're just 1 year in. And look at the calamity that's happening. Sooner than you think, things are going to change. Sooner than you think, Christ is going to take his church out of here. Amen. You see, I said all that to the fact that 88 reasons it happened once again to wake up the church. We don't set dates, but we sure know times. And that date setting got the church stirred up. Got a lot of church filled up. But most of those churches are empty again. Because it's going to take a rational decision to follow Jesus Christ all the way to the end to make it. Not just hoping I'll get in the nick of time. No. I'm going to have to make the choice today. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of change. Today's the day I realize Christ could come today. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to be ready and I'm going to be prepared. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not living for this world, church. We're living for the one to come. Our lifestyle is patterned after heaven, not after this world. Amen. In Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, he's alive and well. He rose that third day from the grave. And we read about it in Acts chapter 1 there, that he ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. We just sung about Jesus seated on his throne. Hallelujah. And that should stir our hearts and our souls to the reality of who he is, and the fact that everything has been preparing for a little over 2,000 years for his catching away of the bride. That's a lot of preparation. Think about it. That's a lot of preparation. Getting ready for the bride to come home. Woo, that's why it's going to be such a great celebration. Because it wasn't just prepared for at the drop of a hat. I mean, we're pretty good about that around here. If we need to do something and we need to do it quick, we'll just drop the hat and get it done. But he's been waiting and he's been preparing and he's been building his bride, his church. Hallelujah. Over this period of time that you and I are a part of. Wow. And sooner than you think, he's coming for his bride. Sooner than you think. That's why you need to be ready. You need to pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to pay attention to how you live in your life. Hallelujah. It's amazing as you read through the Psalms, and you know, you got to realize this was the Old Testament, but David, when he was praying a lot of times, he wasn't praying for the salvation of his enemies. He was praying for their destruction. Now, you and I are in the New Testament in a period of grace, and we're praying for our enemies. We're loving our enemies. But when David was praying, he's asking God to just knock them down and take them out. You mean, that was the Old Testament. That was his privilege to pray that way in that dispensation of time. Be careful that you don't pray that way in this dispensation. Amen. Because you want to see them saved. You want to see them change. You want to see them transformed. You want to see them experience the grace of God like you experienced the grace of God, because you used to be the enemy before you became the child. Woo, hallelujah. Even if you was raised up in the house of God without Jesus Christ, you were the enemy of God and had enmity with God. And so you became a child of God the same way everybody else becomes a child of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to his lordship. Hallelujah. You didn't become a child of God because you were raised in church. You became a child of God because church helped you see your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise be to our God. Because sooner than you think, sooner than you think, he's going to move in your situation. He's going to reveal his hand from heaven and power. And he's going to return for his church. And I don't have time this morning, and it's not even in my notes, but sooner than you think, judgment's about to fall. When the church is taken out of here, that's the very beginning of judgment of those that rejected Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the judgment that God's going to pour out on this world. Everything we've been experiencing up to this point is no more than the devil trying to destroy mankind. But when God begins to pour out his judgment upon mankind's rejection of his provision of salvation, the world hasn't seen anything like it. And it will never happen again. But sooner than you think, it's going to happen. Praise our God. Could we stand to our feet? Praise be to our God. Let's lift our voices. Let's lift